مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا نور الله. There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Salat upon me, the angels continue to supplicate for mercy for him as long as he continues to recite Salat upon me. So let a person do little of that or a lot. So there are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Paak. Try and make a habit. You know, in our busy routines, nowadays everybody's talking about multitasking, about doing numerous things at the same time. And unless your job entails speaking all the time, you're a teacher or you're delivering a sermon or something, even then, unless you are speaking all the time or you're on the phone all the time, then many of the jobs that we do, we can do them jobs and send Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the same time. You can be driving, you can be waiting, you can be waiting for your next customer, you can be working on whatever it is, and in most of the cases, you're not using your tongue, so use that time and spend it by sending Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who knows that one extra Durood-e Paak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madinah Channel, it is a great blessing of Allah that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made prayer obligatory upon us. And not only that, He has ordered Muslim men to offer the prayer in congregation at the appointed times. And He's also promised to bless them with unimaginable rewards in this world and the hereafter for doing so. In contrast to this, He has also issued severe warnings for those who abandon the prayer in congregation. Inshallah, today we're going to talk about the virtues of praying Salah in Jamaat, and also the harms of abandoning it as well. In a book published by Dawat Islami Publishing Wing, Maktabat al-Madina, it is a book entitled Ayun Halakayat. And in this, it is stated that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar al-Kawari, Rahmatullah ta'ala, says that I always offered the Isha prayer in congregation. Once, however, I missed it. I was with a guest, the guest was with me, and I missed reading the Isha Salah in congregation. And as soon as the guest disappeared, I ran to the masjid. But when I got to the masjid, I realized that I'd missed the Jamaat. And he said I was upset with this, and I wondered, what should I do? I started to think that I've missed the Jamaat, what should I do? Then all of a sudden, he remembered the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a prayer offered in congregation is 21 times more superior than a prayer offered alone. He also remembered another hadith in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 25 times. He then remembered another hadith in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 27 times more reward for reading your salah in Jamaat. So what this person decided to do, he decided to read his Isha namaz 27 times. He decided to read his Isha namaz 27 times to try and make up for the loss of reward that he'd got, because the reward is 27 times greater. So he decided to read his Isha Salat 27 times. After reading this, he went to sleep. And he saw himself with a group of horse riders. And as we were riding, one of them said to me, "Do not put your horse into difficulty, as you cannot catch up with us." And I asked, "What are you talking about?" "It is because we prayed our Isha in congregation." Meaning that no matter what you do, you can never catch it with us. So we learned that offering prayer in congregation is 27 times more reward. But if you were to pray it 27 times, it would still not make up for it. And that's something for us to ponder upon. Something for us to think about. You know that we miss these opportunities for Jamaat. Even though the masjid is close to us, we miss these opportunities. You know, if you are offered 27 times more money to work at home or work somewhere else, where would you work? Obviously, you would go to that place. But when it comes to the Jamaat, we are neglectful of it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, translation, Kanzul Iman, Surah 63, verse 9. O believers, let not your wealth or your children or anything cause you to neglect the remembrance of Allah. And whoever does this, they are in loss. Now this remembrance of Allah, this zikr of Allah that is mentioned here, refers to the 5 daily prayers. Therefore, those who miss them due to buying or selling or work or family, they are the ones that are in loss. And nowadays in our lives, we make up loads of excuses. I've got to pick up the kids from school. I've got to finish this job off. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to... And we make all these excuses. And as a result of that, we miss our Jamaat. And I've said this many times before, that unfortunately, as Muslims, our Salah, our Quran, our Deen has become a hobby. And what I mean by that is that we do it when we've got time. If we've got time, we read our Salah. If we've got time, we read the Quran. If we've got time, we come to the Masjid. And the rest revolves around, you know, a hobby revolves around our life. But it should be the other way around. Our Deen is our life, and everything else revolves around it. But unfortunately, we've got our priorities right. You know, you may have a hobby of sport, you may have a hobby of cricket, you might have a hobby of something else, and you do that when you've got time. And if you don't do it, it doesn't matter. Because that's a hobby. But unfortunately, we've made Deen a hobby. That we only perform our Salah if we've got time. We only perform our Salah with Jamaat if we're in the Masjid, as a coincidence. We're there, so okay, we'll read it with Jamaat. But if we're not, it doesn't matter. We read it anyway. But then again, in many of us, unfortunately, we don't even read our Salah. Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioned in the Quran. It says in the Quran, in Surah 74, verse 42 and 43, what took you into the hell? They said, we never used to offer prayer. He may either punish him or admit him into paradise. Now we learn from this, that if you read your 5 daily prayers, then Allah Azza wa Jal has guaranteed you paradise. Now as a Muslim, obviously the aim of every Muslim, what should it be? The aim of every Muslim is to attain paradise. And on this route through life, yes, we've got other aims, we've got other challenges, we've got other things we want, but ultimate goal, the ultimate goal is that we die with Iman and we die in a state where Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with us and we enter paradise. So you've got the criterion now. You've got the recipe for success. It is up to us whether we want to take it or not. Whenever a command to pray is given in the Quran and Hadith, it means to offer the prayer whilst fulfilling all of its obligations and necessities. And one of these necessities is to pray in congregation. Allah Azza wa Jalla explains in the Quran, it is mentioned, and establish the prayer and give zakat and bow in prayer with those who bow. With those who bow, meaning in congregation. And in Tafsir al-Kazani, it mentioned that this verse is commanding us to pray in congregation. It is as if the verse is saying, pray in congregation with others who pray. Allah Azza wa Jalla also says, the day the matter will become more severe and they will be called to prostration, so they will not have the power to comply. The eyes will be lowered, overcome with disgrace. They will be called to prostrate in the world whilst they were healthy. Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Taymi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, explains. He says that on the day of judgment, they will face disgrace and humiliation. They were ordered to prostrate in the world when they were healthy, but they refused despite being able-bodied. You know, it's a blessing to be able to perform your salah. You know, alhamdulillah, the majority of the people that have come in here today, they walked into here in the masjid. The majority of the people that are here, they're here because they're healthy enough to come to the masjid. But at the same time, we will all know people that are ill. We all know people that are in bed, that cannot move, they cannot get up, they cannot read the salah. They cannot perform that what you can do. So Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed you with health. And if Allah wills, Allah could take that health away from you within a minute. You now have ability to perform your salah. What if Allah Azza wa Jalla takes that ability away from you? And the pious people have said that when you perform your salah, whatever salah you perform, perform it in such a way as if this is your last salah. Imagine I was to say to you that the salah that you're going to perform now, this is your last salah. How would that salah be? How would that salah be? If I was to say to you that this dua that you're going to perform now is going to be your last dua, how would that dua be? And if you have this mindset that you perform your salah in such a way as if it is your last salah, if you do dua as if it is your last opportunity to do dua, then one day you will be right. Meaning one day it will be your last salah. One day it will be your last dua. So we should always pray, we should always do our salah in such a way that this is our last salah. Because who knows? Not only could the angel of death come to us and take us, that we cannot actually perform the salah, but our health could be taken away from us. That we can't get up, we can't get out of bed. I had a friend once, and when we were in college together, he was an arm wrestler. He used to arm wrestle with people. And he was unbeaten. Nobody could beat him. But then one day he came into the college and he was shaking. And I joked with him. I said, "Bhai, you have been drinking something dodgy, have you?" "No, toba. I don't drink anything." I said, "Okay." Next day he came in shaking again. And I said, "Look, you must be up to something no good. You're wobbling, yeah? Must be something." He said, no, I'm telling you, I've never taken anything dodgy. So I said, "Come on, let's go to the hospital. Let's go to the doctors." They diagnosed him with multiple sclerosis. And many of us may not know this illness, but it's a disease that affects the nerves. And within a couple of weeks, he was bedridden. And he stayed in that bed for 15 to 20 years. He never again had the ability to stand up and perform his salah. His eyes were shaking. I remember taking him a Quran. He said, "I can't read." He never had the ability to read the Quran again. He never had the ability to do any of these, all these things that we can do. Now, you may be the top arm wrestler. You may be the top bodybuilder. But in the blink of an eye, all of this can be taken away from you. Then what will we do? So you should perform your salah to the best of your ability. Perform it in such a way that this could be my last salah. And there are no excuses. There are no valid excuses for this. It is stated that the noble companion, Abu Umama, radiallahu anhu, narrates that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person who missed prayer in congregation came to know what was in store for him, he would drag himself to the prayer. He would drag himself to the prayer. I remember once I was actually coming here to Fazana Medina in Rochdale. And it was probably about this time, probably one ishtama I was coming to. And near my house is a set of traffic lights, and it's from there that I turn left and come towards Rochdale. And opposite, there's a bus stop. And a person got off the bus, and he had crutches. He had crutches, because he'd broken his leg and he was walking on crutches. And I saw him struggling walking on the crutches, and I felt sorry for him. And I thought, poor fellow, he's got off the bus, and he's walking with these crutches, he's struggling to walk. And he was really, really struggling to walk. But then I realized, where was he walking? He was walking to the pub. He was walking to a place to commit sin. But he struggled and strived to get to that place, even though he had crutches on. And nowadays, I've got a bit of a headache. I'm not going to the masjid. This guy could not walk and he went to his place of sin. We have a smallest excuse and we don't come to the masjid. Where is our iman? Where is our strength? It's stated by Sayyidina Badr al-Din al-Aini al-Hanfi rahmatullah ta'ala. He says that he who abandons offering prayer in congregation is overcome by shaitan who seizes him. Seizes him like a wolf takes hold of a lone sheep. Three people were mentioned in these because a plural consists of a minimum of three people. We also learn that if two people are together in one place but pray separately, they will also be sinful as well. Allahu Akbar. There are many hadiths giving us the blessings of offering salah in jamaat. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever makes perfect ablution when to offer the obligatory prayer and did so behind the imam, his sins will be forgiven. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah loves those who offer the prayer in congregation. Do we not want to be amongst those who Allah loves? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us how. Praying in congregation is 27 times more superior than praying alone. And we also hear that even if you pray 27 times, you will never get the same reward. And like I said before, if I offer you a job, £10 an hour, you say, well, okay, it's minimum wage. Yeah, you can work from home. But I say, look, if you come and work at my place, it's £270 an hour. You're going to say, bye, where is it? Tell me where is it, I'll come. Oh, it's a mile away. Okay, no problem. Oh, it's raining. No problem, I'll still come. It's 5 miles. No problem, I'll still come. We'll make that effort when it comes to pounds, shillings, and pence. But when it comes to the reward from Allah,
gone.
In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person offers prayer in congregation and then asks his need from Allah, the mercy of Allah does not allow for the person to turn away without his need being fulfilled. You know, nowadays we're facing all sorts of problems. Nowadays we're saying that I do dua, but it's not accepted. I do dua, but it's not accepted. Maybe the reason is me. Maybe the reason is me. I'm not doing what Allah asked me to do. And yet I'm asking Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla told me that you need to do this. This is obligatory upon you. You know, imagine, and this is an example that you keep on telling someone to do something. You know, Brother Ifan's here. I say, Brother, do this for me. Brother, do that. And he never listens to me. He never listens to me. He ignores me. And then one day, Brother says, hey, Halabai, do this for me. I say, why should I do anything for you? You never did anything for me. All them times I was telling you to do something, you didn't listen to me. Why should I listen to you now? I know it's probably a wrong example, but just to explain to ourselves, we expect everything from Allah. But what do? And now, these things that we're doing now, that we're telling you to do, are not like extra. These are obligatory upon us. I'm not talking about tahajjud. I'm not talking about chash. I'm not talking about ishraq. I'm not talking about nafal prayers here. I'm not talking about nafal fasts here. I'm talking about what is obligatory upon us. And then we have a problem. This is where our iman is getting weak because we're so far away from this. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, has reported, he said it is reported that the pious predecessors have given a great importance to the initial takbir to the extent that if they missed it, they would be remorseful for 3 days. And if they missed the congregation, they would be upset for 7 days. They would be remorseful if they missed the first takbir. Never mind missing the congregation. And nowadays, we're not even remorseful if we miss the salah completely. Today we're talking about Jamaat, we're talking about the first takbir, but if we're honest with ourselves, we're not even upset if we missed the salah. Oh, we missed it. Okay, never mind, I'll read Qaza later on. Or I'll make a note of it, and when I get time, I'll read it. Or many of us don't even do that. Allah forgive me. And this is the mindset that we've developed. The noble companion, Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, gave the following advice to his son. He said to him that the masjid should be your home. Indeed, I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that the masjids are the home of the pious. And whoever's home is the masjid, Allah becomes the guarantor of the forgiveness. And mercy is shown to them. And then passing over the bridge of Sirat. You know, one thing you need to understand with regards to the masjid is not only a hotel for pious people. The masjid is not only a resting place for pious people. It is also a hospital for sick souls. It is a hospital for those sick souls. This is the place where your soul can get cured. This is the place where your soul can get blessings. This is the place where you can get internal comfort inside you. This is not just a hotel for pious people. It is a hospital for those sick souls. And we should attach ourselves to the masjid. And have you ever wondered why? Why do I not get this attachment to the masjid? I'll give you an example. I think I've mentioned it here in Rochdale before. You know, in your home, you have 3 types of guests. 3 types of guests. Guest number one is that person that you don't want him to come to your house. You don't want him to come. And if he comes, you try and get rid of him as quick as possible. Yeah. Or what if he does come, you look through the door and you don't open the door. Yeah. He's knocking on the door, you don't even open the door. The second time of guest, you think, okay, he's come. I don't mind him coming. It's okay, he can come. But let's get the tea and biscuits out quickly. Let's give him the tea and biscuits and let's get rid of him quickly. Yeah? Because I'm busy and I don't want to spend too much time for him. Then there's the third type of guest. That when he comes, you don't want him to go. Stay a little bit longer. Rash is making some zivda. Stay a little bit longer. We've got different time. I'll bring you some juice. I'll bring you some fruit. I'll bring you some. Just stay. The kids are coming. They're coming. Just stay a little bit longer. These are the three types of guests, yeah? Three types of guests. What type of guest are we in the house of Allah? It is up to that blessing. And that's why I said right at the beginning, when I said at the beginning, if Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you to be here, you are lucky. You need to thank Allah that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the tawfiq. How many people came and picked up the children but did not come into the madrasa? How many of you did not pick up your children, were not here to pick up your children, but Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed you with an ability to come here? And if we are not getting this blessing, then we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing wrong? I am doing something wrong. We should have this mindset that if I'm not coming to the house of Allah, it is not the house of Allah that is wrong, it's me that's wrong. And if we have this mindset, then inshallah we'll be beneficial from it as well. Another example, slightly off topic. There was a person, he was traveling back from the Hajj, but he was traveling by road. And he was coming through Europe and he was thumbing a lift. He was thumbing a lift in Europe. I read this book and he said that I was thumbing a lift and it started to rain. And nobody stopped the car. Nobody was stopping the car and it's raining. He says, so I got off the road, I went down the embankment, found a stream, did wuzu, read two salah, sat there and said, Ya Allah, what have I done wrong? Ya Allah, I'm traveling in your way. You've not sent anybody. You've not sent anybody to give me a lift. Ya Allah, I know I've done something wrong. Ya Allah, forgive me. He blamed himself. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Whatever I've done, Ya Allah, please forgive me. And he sat there crying in the court of Allah. Ya Allah, whatever I've done wrong, please forgive me. He went up the embankment. Car stopped and gave him a lift. This is the mindset that we need to develop. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Zubair radiallahu ta'ala said that I heard Jabir radiallahu ta'ala say that our horns were far away from the masjid. So we intended to sell them and come closer to the masjid. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us. And he said there is a degree of reward for you in every step. Every step that you take to the masjid, there is a reward there for you. Every single step that you take. And the companions, they were so passionate about the congregation that they wanted the masjid, the house next to the masjid. Why? Because they wanted to come to the masjid. And alhamdulillah, a lot of Muslims have this mindset that they want to buy a house next to the masjid, and it's good. But it's no good if you buy a house next to the masjid and don't come to the masjid. You still need to come to the masjid. Sallu alal Habib. The renowned companion, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masood, radiallahu ta'ala, declared that whoever it pleases to meet Allah tomorrow as a Muslim should observe these prayers in congregation. Wherever azan is called for them. For indeed, Allah prescribed sunnah al-hudda, sunnah al-muqadda for your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, these prayers in congregation are from that sunnah. If you pray at home, the way that this person who stays behind prayers, you will be abandoning the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you abandon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would go astray. So it's sunnah to read your namaz in the masjid. And we need to understand this. It is stated that when Sayyidina Mamun bin Miran entered the masjid, it was said to him, the congregation has ended and the people have left. Upon hearing this, he became devastated and he said, in my eyes, the Jamaat is more superior to being the king of Iraq. This is how important Salat is. The second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, once went to one of his gardens. And when he returned, people had already performed the Asr prayer. And he declared, I have missed the Asr congregation. Be a witness, I have given my garden as a charity to the poor in expiation for the congregation that I have missed. This was the mindset that they had. That if they missed the Salah, how upset would they be? And nowadays, forget missing the Jamaat. We don't care about missing the Salah. And unfortunately, our Muslims have gone so far now that many of us have abandoned the Salah completely. You know, the people that are here today, the people that are watching this on Madri channel, you have an Islamic mindset. If you didn't have that Islamic mindset, you wouldn't be here. You know, I can't force you to come here. Yeah? You're here. Maybe maybe some of you may be forced to come here just to keep one of your friends happy, but you've got an Islamic mindset. You've come here, you've got this mindset inside you. But unfortunately, at the same time, you know that for every one Muslim that reads his salah, how many don't? You can think of a figure. And whatever figure you think, it's probably greater than that. And this is the sad state of affairs. That we need to help those people that are away from Jamaat. We need to help those people that are away from Salah. We need to help them, bring them back to the Deen of Islam. And this is what Dawat Islam is about. Dawat Islam is here to rectify ourselves. I'm not perfect. And I will continue striving to be better myself until the day I die. I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world. We need to bring them people back. We need to bring them lost souls back. We need to bring them to the hospital for the sick souls. We need to bring them back to the masjid. We need to teach them to perform the salah. We need to teach them to perform the wuzu. We need to teach them to perform these things. Yes, you will say they've all learnt it. They learned the salah, they learned the wuzu, they learnt all of them things. I agree with you. But like I've said many times before, you service your car every year. You need to service your salah. You need to service your Quran. You need to service your wuzu. You need to get that checked and keep it checked. Because in the same way that driving your car for a full year, faults developing it. In the same way faults develop in our salah, in our wuzu, in our ghusl, our namaz, our Quran, all these faults develop. So come, attend these weekly shistamas. Make an intention to travel in the Madri Kafir, travel in the way of Allah. You come here today, just a little bit about the congregational namaz. Inshallah, if you travel in the way of Allah for 3 days, not only will you learn about it, but you'll also perform it. For 3 days, 15 namaz with Jamaat in the first saf, inshallah. If you learn nothing else, you say, I've learned it all before. I'm a scholar. I'm a mufti. I know it all. Mashallah. But you get the opportunity to spend 3 days and 3 nights in the house of Allah. 15 salah in Jamaat. And the reward is there. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you ability to think about what I said, to act upon what I said, and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.